Lord. What a joy it is, Lord, to join all of heaven and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. Ah, you're an awesome God. Thank you for your mercy, your loving kindness, that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for all that you've prepared for us this year, all the good things that you've laid out for us. And as we begin, we set our hearts and minds on you, and we believe that you have a word in season in this time, tailor-made for us to hear your voice, our good shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you awaken our ear to hear, that we won't hear just with our minds, but we'd hear with our hearts the soil, the good soil, that your seed, your word, would drop into our hearts and produce a harvest for your glory. We may know things with our heads, but Lord, we want to be fruitful. And so, Lord, only your seed, your word, can bear the fruit in our lives through the power of your Holy Spirit. So we trust you to plant your word. Speak a word, Lord. Your servant is listening. We are listening. Your church, your servant on earth, we're listening. Thank you, Good Shepherd. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Wonderful team. As Pastor Andrea said, happy and blessed New Year. I do hope that you've had a refreshing break and that the Lord's amazing grace has made all the difference to your Christmas and New Year. Because that's who he is. He is the difference in our days. I was just thinking, you know, what? Some people would ask me, what's my favorite word? You know, do I have a few favorites? And yes, I do, I suppose. I suppose we all do. Things that I know that God has particularly given me and given us as a church. I can rattle off quite a few of the promises. My favorite might be a word that I've received for a particular need in my life or a need in the church. And so that kind of varies. But I suppose the most important word that I need and I know that we need as his people is the word that he is speaking now. The Spirit-given word. That's how Jesus operated. He heard first and then he acted out on the word that God himself was giving him. And in this time and this year, 2021, we have many words to live by. We've got the words of the government, we've got the words of schools, we've got all the words of the banks and the words that kind of are spoken over our lives from different sources and different situations. But the most important word that we live by is by God's word. And Psalms tells us that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And I believe that what God is going to give us today, a word that guides our path through the year, that speaks about where we are and where we're going, is going to shine great light for 2021, because that's the light that we need to walk in, the word that God gives. And so I'm trusting him. We have prayed, and I know many of you have been praying and are quite excited about hearing what the Lord has got to say to us. And I want to start really by sort of giving a bit of background of a theme that runs throughout Scripture. And that's an old-fashioned word. And to be honest, I don't really often use this word. But I'm going to use it today and explain what it means, if you don't know what it means, because some of you might not know. And it's something called the providence of God. The providence of God. What does that mean? It means that God foresees the whole of human history. And he prepares and is planning events and seasons and times until he finishes everything in Christ. So everything in human history, God has already seen because he is in eternity. And so he sees the end from the beginning. That's why we have the end of the story in the Bible, because he's already seen Christ return to the earth and eternity, how God will wipe away all our tears. There will be no more sorrow and no more suffering. And how those, like in Noah's day, in the flood, those in Christ, in the ark, will be saved. But sadly, all else will be destroyed by eternal destruction. So God sees the end from the beginning. In fact, Scripture says that even before the foundation of the world, Christ, the Lamb, was slain. So in other words, God already knew that sin and Satan would enter his perfect creation. He knew before time. And he already predetermined that at a certain point in time, Jesus would be born. At a certain point in time, Jesus would be crucified. And on a certain day, he would rise again. And then 40 days after, return, seated to the majesty of the majesty, the right hand on high, and reign forever, given the name that is above every other name. So God is working out his providence, his plan, his purpose. He's supplying and providing for everything in human life and events. So he is unsurprised by pandemics. He wasn't taken surprise like most of us were, myself included, of 2020. And he's not surprised by anything that's going to happen in 21. He's already got a plan in place and has foreseen what will happen in 2021. In fact, he's got all your years planned out. It's amazing to think, because God doesn't just have a plan for the universe. He doesn't just have a plan for all nations, all people, all generations. He has a plan and has prepared good things for his own special people. God has a plan for the Jewish nation. And he's got a plan, ultimately, for the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. And of course, the Jewish nation, God is going to call many to come into Christ. And many will be saved. That's the plan. Because everything is coming into Christ, Jesus, the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 11 says that God's plans stand firm in every generation, the purposes of his heart. So in other words, whatever God's plan is going to happen, nothing could stop Jesus coming, and nothing will stop him coming again. Nothing can stop the plan of God at all. He already knows what it is that he's going to do, because to him it's already done, because he sees from outside time. And as human beings, you know, we don't live like that, but he set eternity in our hearts. And the Eternal One lives within us to teach us and to show us the things that are his plans, the things to come. Now, you know, and I know, because I'm included in this, people may fail. Satan may plan things, and he does. And his plans always involve stealing, killing, and destroying, because that's how Jesus defined Satan and his plans in the human affairs in every generation. But God's plan is working out. And God's plan will happen. And no matter what, we know that our God is greater than any human failure, than any plot of Satan. Our God is supreme over all. And so he's the one who is working out a plan individually for you as an individual and for the church and for the nations. And today, the word that God has put on my heart comes from a story of a seemingly insignificant girl, a Jewish girl. Comes from the book of Esther, and how God planned and pre-arranged certain things to happen so that she was in the right place at the right time for the destiny that God had planned for an entire nation or people. And so we see in this story, and it inspires faith. It inspires hope for you and for me, for every single person, that God values you, that you as an individual are significant to God, even if it doesn't look like you are, and that God has prearranged and predetermined a plan for your life that will both bless you and make you a blessing to many people. That's why the story of Esther, it's only a tiny little book, and I recommend you read it, just a few chapters, is so much about the providence of God. God working in time, in human history, so that his plan, he knew before anything happened, was that this little girl would be born and that she would be raised up for a particular task and season of time. It also shows the care of God, and I'm not going to read the whole story because I'm just wanting to major on what the Spirit is saying today. But it shows how God loves people. Now, this little girl was born and she lost her parents. It doesn't say anything about that, but how that happened. But she became an orphan when she was very young, this young Jewish girl. And God had provided already a man called Mordecai. He was her cousin. And Mordecai, in the plan of God, I think Mordecai is very much a part of the plan of God. You can see in the book of Esther how important Mordecai was to the plan happening. And Mordecai, he took Esther as his own child. He said, I'm going to adopt you, basically, and you're going to become mine. And it's a bit like you and me. We weren't born children of God. But when we received Jesus Christ, we were born again and adopted, sons of God, chosen, and part of God's family. God is our Father. He loved her so much that he made sure she was loved and accepted. And you can see God's plan through that. We're just going to look at Psalm 139 and just see this amazing psalm that teaches us that God values every person. Psalm 139, I'm sure it's a favorite of yours. It's a bit of a favorite of mine. I go there when I'm foxed, and I don't really know why I'm here, but I read that, and I think, I know you, know, Lord, so that's the main thing. And I know you, and because I know you, somehow you'll somehow get my understanding right, because I know I'm here, because you designed it. So Psalm 139, it begins with this, Lord, you've searched me and known me. In other words, God not only knows every bird, every sparrow, he doesn't know just all the nations and all the stars and the galaxies. It's amazing, the vastness of his knowledge. But he MRI scans you and me. So in other words, I don't know if you've ever had an MRI scan. I have. And you're in this machine that you wish wasn't making those kind of noises. And everything in you is seen. Now, that scares some people, but it doesn't scare me because he sees me in Christ. But he also knows me. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows what I'm about to say. He knows the kind of choices, the leanings that I have that give me my ability to make choices. He knows everything. And that speaks about the all-knowingness of God. He knows and has laid his hand upon me. That's a hand of favor and blessing in Christ Jesus. And the psalmist says, this knowledge of how God knows me is too wonderful. I honestly can say, I don't know myself that well. I don't know myself as well as God. But God knows me perfectly. Everything. Before I even say anything or think anything, he's on it. In other words, he reads me. He's got me. He never understands. You know when people, you're talking to somebody and there's a misunderstanding going on and you're like, no, I didn't mean that. God never, ever doesn't know what you mean. He knows when you're faking it and he knows when you're genuine. He knows everything. Then the psalm goes, where can I go from your spirit? It doesn't matter where we are, God's there. That's God is ever present, always, everywhere. And for a Christian, we have his presence living in us continually. We are never on our own. So if I go to Japan, providing it was okay to go, and we're not in those days just yet, he'd be there. If I'm at home listening this morning, he's there. If I'm here in the building, he's there. When I'm walking on my street, in my car, God's there. It doesn't matter where you are. He's always present. But then it goes on to say about the creation, how God made us physically and created each single person, a child, adult, doesn't matter who you are. In verse 13, it says, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. In other words, I mean, just think about how your body works. It's incredible how the human body fits together and works. If you ever study anything about the human body, I'm sure it would lead an honest heart to believe in God. Because there's no way we are the fruit of a big bang. We are a masterpiece. A creative masterpiece. We didn't evolve. We were created. A masterpiece of God. That's I. In my mother's womb, it says, my frame wasn't hidden from you when I was made in secret. In other words, in my mother's womb. Esther was like this. She wasn't a chance happening. You're the same. You are not here by chance. God made you in your mother's womb. His eye saw your substance being yet unformed. That's why every child is a gift made from God, which is why we believe in the sanctity of life, that human life is valuable from the moment a child is conceived. God's creative design plan for a human child. Then it says, in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Wowzers. There were no days. And God says, I think I'll have a Sam and a James and a Doris. I'm going to write them into this day and I'm going to write all their days out. and I'm going to create them in their mother's womb so that they're ready for every day all the way through their lives. It's called destiny. We are not here by mistake. We are here because the days were written that we should live in this day. If people say in your history, you know, a few years down the road, oh, you lived through the pandemic, you'll say, I was created for it. I was actually designed by God to be here for now. And as Pastor Andrea said, we've been born of God, not just the first natural birth, but we have been born again, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared beforehand. We're not making up what to do. He's already got the plan beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow. For his glory and my good. All these days were planned, written. You are valuable. You are created by God and for God. You are not a mistake. Your age is the right age. I always would like to be 20 years younger, but actually, I'm exactly the right age. And you could say that over your life. I'm exactly the right age. I'm supposed to be this old. That's it. You criticize that, you criticize God. Because he put me here to be in this day. Isn't that amazing? Then, the story of Esther. Let's go back there, because her days were all planned and written. Her upbringing was written. God planned a Mordecai for her. God planned everything around her so that she could be trained and ready for a certain time in history, for a major role, really, in history. She played a major role. And I was thinking this morning, Mordecai, you were amazing to disciple Esther. I see discipleship as a huge role in this, that the Church of Jesus Christ is called to make disciples, teaching them to obey everything. And Esther had this quality of obedience that as she was growing up, she did whatever Mordecai asked. And even when she was elevated to a royal position, she still did whatever Mordecai asked. She was a humble, teachable person. And I want to tell you that that is an attitude, a teachable spirit, someone who is willing to yield and obey God and obey those who God has chosen to influence and lead your life for him, for the right things. That in that, there is a positioning. God is able to always raise the humble. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace and lifts the humble. Esther was discipled by Mordecai. It's amazing. But, you know, the old queen of the king, King Ahasuerus, King A, let's put it like that, the old king, queen, refused to come into the king when she was summoned, and she was removed from her royal position. And I, you know, scripture puts it like this. He raises kings. He puts them down. So in other words, he lifts up people and he puts people down. Because God is God. He's God of every human event and time. He's at work. Even though Satan may be working and sin may be an operation, God has got a plan. And he is working his plan out. So even the removal of the old queen is actually making a way for God's choice to be brought into this royal position. And what happened? They were going to have a beauty contest in the kingdom. It was the Miss World of the day. And so they went out and said, let's pick the most beautiful young women and let's have a contest. And every little girl really wants to be a princess. And they did live happily ever after. But this beauty contest, Esther was actually one of the ones chosen. And she was a beautiful woman, young woman. Yes, physically. And you know, I can look in the mirror every day of my life and not be the kind of beauty that Esther had. But I believe she also had a beauty of heart, because she was the right material, humble, teachable heart, willing to yield to the Lord ultimately. And she was picked. The king loved her more than any other. And she was favored and given grace and put into royal position. Wow! Out of nowhere, she is brought in to a position of the greatest influence in the kingdom. Up there with the king. I want to tell you, we've been raised in Christ and are seated in heavenly places in Christ. We are born of God. Our God is King. And we are sons of God through faith in Jesus. We are royal. We're royalty. Children of God. You're a royal person. Co-heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Can you fathom that? Shown grace and favor, not because of anything we've done, but because of everything that Jesus has done to bring us into this amazing place of his mercy and grace. You're chosen. Peter puts it like this. We're just going to look at this scripture. 1 Peter 1. Ah, praise the Lord, eh? For his providence, his foreseeing, foreknowing, planning, creating us for these days. And Peter says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I'm just speaking it over you. I'm going to say it again. This is who you are. You are royalty. You're a king under the King of Kings. You're a priest called to represent God's will to the people. A priest that speaks of worship, ministry to the Lord in prayer, and ministry to people. Royal priesthood, a chosen people, a chosen generation, a holy nation, his own specials. Say, I'm special. We need to hear that again and again. Need to start this year. I'm royalty and I'm special. Just say it over yourself. I'm royal and I'm special. I'm a son of the king. I'm a daughter of the king. God himself has brought me into this royal position. Wow. There is no higher place to go. That's it. In Christ, we are in the most blessed. He chose us before the foundation of the earth to be holy and blameless in his sight, having predestined us in love to be sons of God, his royal children. Wow. Esther's our story, the church's story, that God has raised us up into this royal relationship and position with the Almighty King of this universe, world, and time. He's our King. And we are in a place of relationship with Him that is so influential that we need to restore that back into our hearts and minds. I'm royalty, I'm special, I'm chosen, but I'm also in this amazing place of blessing and provision in Christ Jesus. You've got the royal stamp of approval on your life in Christ. The stamp of approval. You're accepted, loved, and chosen. Jesus said, incredible words, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Wow. The same love that God had for Jesus is the same love that He has for you and for me. And so Esther was brought into this position, but as you always know, and you always will know until Jesus comes again, Satan has a plan that is opposing everything God wants to do. When Jesus came, He always confronted demonic powers, the opposition of sin and rebellion. And until Jesus returns, there will be sinners who fight against God's plan, and there will be demonic powers that oppose the plan of God. But I am amazed when I read this story, because there's this guy called Haman, and Haman was like the prime minister of the day. And he was in the position that God had put him, well, that not God had put him, he self-made position, where he had this amazing thought, an evil plot that he wanted to destroy the Jewish nation. This evil plan came into his mind, I'm going to destroy the people of God. And God, not being foxed by that, had already prepared the solution. So in a moment of time, Haman went, I've got an idea, I'm going to destroy. Because Satan isn't all-knowing. He isn't seeing all the future. He only knows what he knows. And he's limited in his knowledge. God knows everything. And so God always knew that at a certain point in time, Haman would plot to destroy people, the nation of the Jews. And he manipulated the king, paid him a fortune, and got a law signed that within a year, all the Jews in the kingdom would be killed, annihilated. Every plot of Satan, God's already prepared for it. And if you see that in that moment of time, Esther was ready. She was, all the years preparation had brought her to this point in human history where she was ready to be used by God to save a nation. So God had a plan, and His plan was this girl. And I have news for you. That God has His plan, and His plan is you. Yeah. You're the plan. You are in the time you're supposed to be in. You are in the status, married, single, whatever situation you're in today, you're in that place because God has designed you to be alive for today. You are here, now, in the position of influence with the people that you know and with the King of Kings in relationship with God for this time. And so God's plan was made aware to Mordecai, but Esther didn't know it yet. And how many times do we walk around not really knowing the plan? I think we're all a bit like Esther. We are where we are. We do what we do. We go through the day like we do. And we're going through the pandemic and we've got another lockdown. And every day seems like the day before. And then we've got to go back to work. And the kids, well, will they be going to school? And what's going to happen? And we kind of live a bit like Esther, unaware that there is a divine plan. That the reason we are where we are is because God has a purpose for us in this time. So Mordecai found out the plot and he got news to Esther to say they're planning to kill the Jews. And she suddenly thought, oh, well, what's that got to do with me, basically? I'm a queen now. I'm in my protective condition. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm in Christ. That's all that matters. I'm going to heaven. I am in heaven. I just want to sit and listen to worship all day. Let's just sit in this bubble of blessing. Bubble of blessing. Esther was in a bubble of blessing. And she was aware, unaware of everything that was happening. How Satan is planning to destroy every human life outside the palace. And so Mordecai gets news back to her because she wasn't particularly bothered at that point. You can read the whole story more detailed than this. And Mordecai came back to her and said these words. We're going to read these words because this is the word of the Lord for the year. Summed up in this word to Esther, verse 13 of Esther chapter 4. Mordecai told them to answer Esther. Get this back to Esther. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows? Who knows whether you have come into this royal position in the kingdom of heaven for such a time as this? That's the word. That's the word of the Lord for the year. That's what the Spirit is saying. In other words, it's all been planned. You are where you are by design. It is the will of God that you are in place in this time for God's plan. And Esther was suddenly made aware of the fact that instead of just being queen, her role in life, you see, you can be a mum, a dad, you can be in working, living next door to someone, you could be retired, you could be whatever condition you're in, whatever situation you're in. Suddenly, there is a new awareness of, hang on a minute, Mordecai isn't speaking. God himself is saying, you have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. You're valuable. God's prepared you. You're not a mistake. You were supposed to be alive. God loves you and has shown you immense grace and favor. And yes, you are in blessing in Christ, and he wants to bless you with every blessing, and he has. But the point is that Esther needed to know everything that had been working behind the scenes had been happening so that she was where she should have been and in the condition she was in for such a time as this. Throughout 2020, I believe one of the biggest things that Satan robbed was purpose for days. That I think this is why the Spirit is making this a very clear word for this year. To redeem the time. To consider your days valuable. Because you're valuable. And to consider and get to understand more and more about, hang on, God's got a plan and I need to know what it is. I need to understand what His will is for my life, because I understand this is not a mistake. I'm alive. January the 3rd, 2021, for such a time as this. Now, Mordecai was a great man of faith. You read it in that verse. He said, if it's not you, God will make sure His plan gets done. He'll find somebody else. Now, I find that the most awful thing to consider. Because God's plan doesn't happen without my willingness to say yes to it. Can I remind you of that again? Can I repeat? Mordecai said to Esther, you've got a choice. I've got a choice. I don't have to do it. God already knows, actually, whether I'm going to do it, but He knows because He already knows the choices I make in time from the end. So He knows. He always knew that Esther would say yes, but He works with free will. It's not automatic that God will use you and me. He plans to, but we have to say yes to it. Do you understand that? Because there's this overemphasis sometimes that it's all God. It isn't. It's God with human availability. So Esther was saying, look, consider Esther. Isn't it amazing you're in this place? Consider it. Do not think it's a miracle. It's not just a chance happening. God put you there. Consider the people who you walk with life, through life with. Consider the body of Christ. God put you there. It's not a mistake. You're in the body, the family of God. You're part of His family. You're in the kingdom, in Christ, in this amazing position in Christ. And it's not a mistake. You've got influence. I don't mind, it doesn't matter who you are, you've got influence. Whether you're a plumber or a prime minister, you've got influence. You are put into the place God has you now. You see, we're always living future, but we've got to live today. If we always live in the future, we never live now. And we need to realize that it's the time to be alive in Christ, knowing that we're here for such a time as this. And not allow Satan to rob our destiny. Because God values you. He chose you. He loves you. He's placed His Spirit within you. And you are here for such a time as this. To do an extraordinary work for God. Because it's an extraordinary God who does the work through us. For such a time as this. So for 2021, that guiding light, that path, we can look ahead and say, I'm made for it. I'm here for it. And Lord, don't pass me by and pick someone else, because I know your plan is going to get done anyway. Choose me. I'm going to be the Shrek of 21. Pick me. Pick me. Choose me. I want to be used by God. And that's what Esther said. Right. Okay. Mordecai, I get it. There are risks. You know, I might lose my life, but didn't Jesus say that you will lose your life to find it? That if you deny yourself, take up whatever you need to pick up, and God will use you, and you will find the life of the Spirit, the life of God. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we all said, I'm losing my own life so that I can find His this year. And she said, right, I'm going to do it. But in verse 15, she didn't rush in to see the king. Now, I don't mean not prayer. I mean naturally. She didn't rush in to get this request and to try and influence the king naturally for this. We can go into to the God's presence all the time and pray, and we need to. This is so important. She knew that she needed something from God to be able to see a supernatural intervention and work of God. Because you see, even having a word, you can try and work it out in human effort. But Esther, this is where the wisdom of the word is here. She actually told Mordecai, go gather all the Jews present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat or drink 3 days or nights. My maids and I will also fast, and I will go into the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So in other words, Esther finished this kind of response. Yes, I'm gonna serve God. I'm gonna do what God wants. I know I'm here for this time. But I need God. I need something fresh from God. And Jesus talked about fasting and prayer. Why? Because a time of giving yourself to seek Him, to receive from Him. Fasting doesn't change God, it changes us. We receive looking to Jesus. We had it time and time again this morning. The author and perfecter of our faith. We receive something fresh from God when we pray. And when we fast, now fast 3 days, we can do a Daniel fast, give up kind of certain things in our diet, fast the cheese. I will be fasting the cheese because that's what I've been scoffing over Christmas. I love the cheese. But for 21 days, you can fast whatever is a delicacy for you and just get plain food. And of course, you need medically if you're pregnant or there are other conditions. You can fast in different ways. Fast TV. Fast time doing what you love doing so that you can love Jesus more and seek Him and spend time with Him in prayer. And so, church and all of those listening, you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Your story, your history, you can look back and say, I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be alive. I'm amongst these people. I live there. Everything about my life is, God put me here with these people, with the body of Christ, with my neighbors and people I work with for such a time as this. But I'm not going to rush. And that's what I want to say. We're not going to rush off. We're going to receive that word. Let it be planted in our heart. But there's a call going out from God to pray with fasting. There's no point fasting without prayer because prayer is the goal. To seek the Lord and receive. Prayer is receiving things from God. But with fasting, it actually helps us to subdue the flesh and get back to this fervent prayer life, relationship with the Lord, so that we can receive the grace, fresh faith, because we don't have the faith. We don't have what it takes. Like Esther, she was saying, we need something supernatural. We need something from God. And let me tell you, something's going to come into your life if you're willing and obedient. You're going to eat fresh things. You're going to receive fresh grace from the Lord. And there is going to be a different outworking of the power and the grace of God. Favor will mark everything that God calls you to do. Valuable, special, chosen, royalty. God has put you here for such a time as this. What a wonderful word. I'm so grateful I'm not a mistake. I'm so grateful I'm not a chance happening. That life is planned, all my days are written in His book before they ever came to be. And I'm here for him. It's my choice to do that. What is yours? Are you a yes, Lord? Or yes in theory? Because he MRI scans us. He knows those that he can raise into positions of influence. And God is going to do that for such a time as this. Shall we stand? Praise God. I trust you've received the seed of his promise and his word for this time. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for giving us this amazing insight into your providence, your care, that even in our mother's womb, even before we were created, you made the days we were to live in. You formed us, created us, and you knew the day that we would be born of God, when we would receive Jesus as our Lord and become a new creation. Thank you, in that moment we received you, Jesus. We were raised into this royal position, seated in heavenly places with our King, our God. Lord, thank you that each one of us is valuable. Thank you that no person, whether it's age, male, female, whatever their job is, no person escapes the value and the choice and the love that you have on our lives, that we're all loved and blessed in Christ. Lord, thank you for your people, this royal priesthood. Thank you for your church out, right out there in every home, this royalty. Thank you for the children. Thank you for every age. Thank you for the elderly, Lord. Thank you for all who are hearing for such a time as this. Thank you that we're not on our own, that we're a people who are called and chosen. And Lord, I can't answer for individuals. You always make choices personal. But like you spoke through Mordecai, thank you, you've spoken today that we come into a new realization that we're called for this time. That actually there's more than just going through the days and getting through the pandemic or getting through life. But there's so much more to our lives because you've got a plan. And Lord, as for me, I'm saying I want to serve your purpose in this generation. I want to be like Esther. I want to rise up and say, yes, Lord, here I am. I didn't choose myself. You chose me, but you've appointed me to bear fruit and fruit that lasts. So Lord, bring insight into my life, our lives, for your supernatural kingdom plan, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I say yes in my own heart to purpose, to fast and pray. In these next weeks, Lord, these 3 weeks upcoming, I pray that I will settle in my heart, vow before you what I'm going to do and follow through. And I pray that for all the church, this call to fast and pray, that we would unite in seeking you for fresh grace and the supernatural power that will bring about a great deliverance this year. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God for such a time as this. God bless you. And we're looking forward to communicating with you. We're going to send an email to the church, just a short voicemail, just to help you feel prayer for the next 3 weeks. So we're going to just, once a week, we're just going to give you a 5-minuter and fuel fasting and praying. But do get involved with God's, what God's doing. Read Esther, and God bless you for such a time as this.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.